is Bharat Hitchin of Word of Prayer. Lord Jesus, tonight you are here, Lord, because we need you, Lord, in this last hour. We have no place to go but to you, Lord. The whole world is pressing from every direction, but Lord, you are our refuge. You are the place that we can hide. You hide our souls, Lord, from the danger. Lord, we are hid with Christ in God. Satan cannot find us, Lord, regardless how much we're going to be buffeted. We love you, dear Jesus, and appreciate what you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Studying the book of Revelation is a really mystery chapter book. But you know, it needs revelation. And first of all, you have to remember to pray for one another and pray for the ones that are affected by breathing problems, because sometimes, you know, this season is pretty bad. I don't know if you have been watching the pollen, but today is 10.4 out of 12. Tomorrow will be 11.2 out of 12. That means the pollen is very, very high. So the people are not doing anything bad, but they are breathing what's happening from the trees and the bushes and everything else. So remember each one of us in prayer. I know myself, I feel that, but the Lord will deliver us. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. When we study the book of Revelation, the Thyatira church age, going back to the second chapter, the 20th verse, you read, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols." There are some serious charges to a church age. And the serious charges is, suffers that woman Jezebel, that she calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and deceive my servants and to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, the subject of Jezebel is a very deep subject and a very serious subject, especially one of those chapters that shows who Jezebel is. Jezebel really was a deceiver, was a murderer. Anything you can imagine goes to Jezebel. He has done everything you can imagine. Now, Jezebel's wife was Ahab, the king of Israel, and she was a Phoenician. A Phoenician, idol worshipping and so on. He was a princess and a daughter of Ethbaal, the Zidonite. So, Jezebel came from some kind of a royalty, but the royalty was heathenism. And now she's penetrated to Christianity, should I say to Judaism, because of her husband Ahab. Now her marriage with Ahab was a turning point of the history of Israel. She was from a heathen kingdom, and God forbid to do that. He said, stay separate. That's why, young people, the scripture teaches us, never yoke unequally. When I say yoked unequally, is to try to marry somebody that's not really Christian. You're going to pay the rest of your life for that. You better stay the way that you are until God provides the right person for you. It's so easy sometimes for the young people to fall in love with him and with her. But let me tell you this, that will finish very quick, and then after that the problem starts. And if the Lord is not there to solve the problems, you are in deep problems. So never yourself try to yoke yourself with any man. You illustrate that, it's very easy to say that when a young lady gets married with a man that's not Christian, it's like a team of horses and a team of animals that are pulling a plow behind. As long as they are together, they agree the plow will keep on moving. When one of the animals wants to go left, the other one wants to go right, then you got big problems. You know, you cannot go nowhere because everybody's pulling their direction. And I pray so that you will make the decision because of Christ. Now, her royal family was a type, was very high of the heathen royal family. Heathenism has controlled that family. That family committed lots of crimes. And Jezebel was right in the middle of the crimes. Jezebel's father came to the throne by the murder of the predecessor, Helas. Josephus tells us in book 1, number 18. So her father had to kill his predecessor in order to take over the throne. So you can imagine what was going on in the family. Everything was crooked. And as long as you know you rule, sometimes you get by with a lot of things. When you're a regular citizen, then lots of things will be against you that you cannot fight them back. Jezebel's father, Ethbaal, united his royal office with the priesthood of the goddess Astarte. What is that Astarte? Astarte was a god that was worshipped the same thing like Baal. Baal was supposed to be worshipped as a sun god, and Astarte as a woman god. One of them was called the moon god, the other one the sun god. Baal was the son of God. Now, like I said, that kingdom, that statue that I have a picture of, you see her standing there, and she's a woman believing one time she was born a man, and she became a woman to bridge the equality between men and women. She was an equal rights woman. She was Jezebel, and that's all she was. In that statue that they designed for her was the image which the people, men and women, were worshiping. This is the merging at that time of church and state, because Jezebel's father started introducing into the church heathen worship. And when he succeeded, of course, they put their own prophets like we're going to see there, and they were worshiping heathenism. And the people, the true prophets of God, in a later verse we're going to find out, they flew in the northern part of the kingdom because Jezebel ordered to be killed. Now, the next generation includes within itself Sichaus, the king and the priest of Baal, the murderer of the Pygmalion, and Elisha. In the stock of Jezebel, Jezebel's husband Ahab became a puppet to Jezebel. And any time, my friend, you have two heads in a family, it doesn't work. Somewhere, somebody has to provide leadership. And in that kind of a condition, Jezebel now, the scripture tells us in 1 Kings 21:25, but Ahab did wickedly in that he sold himself to do that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and his wife Jezebel led him astray. How do you like that for a classification of a king of Israel? We consider Ahab to be the most wicked king that there was in Israel. There was no standard. There was nothing that he can do. That man was just a yes man to Jezebel. And Jezebel twist the kingdom any place she wanted to. Right or left, on anything she wants to do, she was doing it. Now, the wild condition of the life of Jezebel was so wild that there were many proverbs were written about Jezebel at that time among Israel. She was fascinating with great things, some magical things. The arts of magic, they call them. And her character, because like the proverb of the nation of Israel said in 1 Kings 9:22, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, and he said, is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, what peace? So long as the whoredom of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many. Here you have a kingdom now that's moving to the direction of a perverted woman. I don't blame only Jezebel. I blame Ahab just as much. He made one mistake, big mistake, married Jezebel from a heathen kingdom, and he paid the rest of his life. It was a terrible thing to see him try to rule the nation. Now, Jezebel, we know in the New Testament, we have also Jezebel in Revelations 2:20 and the Thyatira church age, which the scripture parallels the same activities of Jezebel, of someone who was a bishop preceding or an officer of that church. Somebody in the church of Thyatira start teaching doctrines, and that was the spirit of Jezebel upon some kind of a woman, teaching Thyatira things to worship idols, fornications, and so on. And that spirit of Jezebel, or no, we know that Jezebel was dead, but that spirit seems to be traveled all the way down and finding the New Testament. Listening the tape, Jezebel's religion, Brother Branham compares that with the Roman Catholic Church taking over the U.S. kingdom. Jezebel now, of course, was the first thing that she tried to accomplish was to establish, immediate or to establish a Phoenician worship at a grand scale in the court of Ahab. So what happened now, the heathen worship was taking place in the palace of King Ahab, and he was supposed to be the example of the whole thing, but instead of the example, became the center of corruption. The people of Israel were looking at what Ahab was doing, and eventually started deteriorating. Now, at her table there, she was supporting about 450 prophets of Baal and about 400 of Astoreth. All of them were 800 of them about were heathen prophets. And she put them on salary. That's what you had church and state merged together. People don't understand sometimes of countries like Italy, Greece, and Spain. Greece, of course, is the Greek Orthodox Church. All these priests are state employed. They get a paycheck from the state and they serve in their church. So church and state is united. Brother Herb gave me an article to read about a couple of 3 months ago, and they will try to develop a new ID card in Greece about try to become a part of the European Union of Nations. And in that, they had to write religion before, and then they had to delete it, not to say anything about what you believe or not. And the Greek church, of course, rose up, and the biggest argument that became through the archbishop and the courts was that they would try to destroy the union between church and state. In our country, we have separation of church and state. Now, what's happening right now about giving funds to the churches, I don't know. But the thing is, we're going the wrong direction. And by prophecy, we know Jezebel will take over and will be the same persecution like they did it at the time of Rome. Now, the influence and spirit of Jezebel persecuted the prophets of the Lord who had found their refuge in the northern kingdom. The servants of the Lord, they were attacked by her and they were ordered to be killed. So really, Jehovah God was pushed out of the kingdom completely. The ruler was heathenism, Baal, Astoreth, and at the same time, the kingdom was not run by a king, but was run by his wife. There is a lot of things to be said about Jezebel, especially in 1 Kings, when we know that Elijah there appeared in the scene all of a sudden, and he started talking to the nation there. And when Elijah came unto all the people, he asked them, how long you be between two opinions? This can be parallel exactly with the Laodicean church age. You say, Brother David, how you parallel this with the Laodicean church age? The Laodicean church age didn't want to commit themselves in either direction. They are lukewarm. And it would spew out of the mouth of God. Israelites at the time of Elijah, when Elijah asked them how long would be between two opinions, and he says, if the Lord be God, follow him. But he says, Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. They kept silence because they were so perverted They didn't want to commit themselves one direction or another. Now, when Elijah came to the people, of course, the people were Jezebel, persecuted the prophets. He asked God, he says, Lord, he says, I'm the only one to remain as a prophet of the Lord. But Baal and the prophets, he says, 400 of them. But just remember, regardless how many prophets are around you, if you follow the scriptures, you'll never go wrong. Popularity always attracts perversion. And by the time you go to popularity, you'll find out down the ditch and you don't even know when it happened. Brother Barron spoke against popularity. He said, stay away from it. He was very cautious even to go and buy a suit for himself. He was very cautious with money. I remember one time he wants to buy my lunch. He reached in his pocket, and he had about $3 he couldn't afford it. I says, forget it, Brother Branham. I got the money. I'll pay for it, you know. He says, no, Brother Dave, no. He opened his wallet. There was no money at all in there. I was told by some brothers in Louisville that every Saturday, Brother Branham was getting an allowance from his paycheck. And he was going downtown with the bums on 6th Street. He was giving a quarter to every bum just about, trying to help them, witnessing for Christ, and giving them little Bibles. That's a wonderful example, isn't it? You know, that's a wonderful example, the thing. God, what can I do through a prophet? Now, we know that Elijah was not a man that he didn't have the revelation of the Lord. And if you take the type of Elijah, is the type of Elijah in the last days. Elijah now, later on, calling the name of the Lord, and he says, I will call on the name of the Lord and the God, and he, you know, when he seeth by fire, he'll come down. Remember, he says, in the name of the Lord, or the 24th verse of the 18th chapter. Not names, but single name. He had the revelation of the name of the Lord. And he went on, and the people praying the name of Baal, and that's why never criticize people. But Elijah, I don't understand this portion of scriptures. Standing there and telling the people on the 20th verse, after the sacrifice of the name of Baal, from the morning until the evening, they sit there shouting and screaming. And there was no voice, not even an answer, and they leap up in the altar which was made. Leaping comes from the original word, means to jump up and down, dancing like that. Praise Baal, praise Baal, praise Baal, and keep on going. But you see, Elijah stood there and mocked them. You know, I don't understand that. Elijah gave them a big mock, and these people were jumping up and down, waiting for Baal to answer, and Baal didn't have an answer. Now, in the 27th verse, we see that the 18th chapter, we see that Elijah, of course, it came around to pass around noon, and Elijah mocked them and said to them, cry louder. This is something that these people sit and jump up and down louder. With other words, the people think that Elijah was telling them, you are doing a good job, keep on doing it harder. But the people were totally blind. Something to see the blindness of these people. Now the 30th verse, Elijah called all the people to come near to him, and all the people came to him. And what did he do? He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Brother Branham came in this hour to repair Calvary, to restore us, should I say, back to Calvary. We tear it down. We don't have an altar. The only thing we knew, put your name on the book, love everybody, go to church, and believe that God sent a prophet. But Elijah prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And when Brother Branham came, the altar of the Lord was broken down. Had all kinds of substitutes, you can imagine. Oh, I raised my hand, I got saved. I say I accept and I got saved. I did this, I got saved. Says, no, just go back to the altar of the Lord. And what did Elijah do? And you know, Elijah, in the 32nd verse, took 12 stones and build an altar, again, singular tense in the name of the Lord, not names. Keep on hammering. There's only one name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep on hammering, Brother Branham says. There's not another name given unto heaven and earth that a man may be saved by the name of Jesus Christ. Only one name. And after that, we know what happened. Fire came down. Now, there's a chapter that describes the cruelty of Jezebel. And if you haven't read it, that chapter is a man, to make it very simple, just to show what she was made out of. Ahab built a house. It was a beautiful house, history tells us. And in one side of his house was big vineyards, beautiful vineyards. And the owner of the vineyards were a man by the name Naboth. You find him in the 21st chapter of 1 Kings. Naboth had all his vineyards, and Ahab tried to get his vineyards from him and trade with him and to give him an inheritance of some other stuff, like, you know, weeds and vegetables and this kind of thing. But, you know, it didn't work. The man turned it down. He says, no, I'm going to keep my vineyard. Of course, Jezebel find out that. And I listened to the cruelty of that woman. On the fifth verse, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him, and he said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad, and thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spoke to Naboth, you know, to Zebulite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyards for money, or else, if it please thee, I'll give you another vineyard of it, and the vineyard I will not give thee the my vineyard. The man refused to give the vineyard. That's his property, am I right? That's his rights. He wants to keep his vineyard, that's his property, that's his rights. Listen now how Jezebel operated. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, dost thou now govern, he says, the kingdom of Israel? Asking Ahab, arise and eat bread, and let thy heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. Look at her. She says, the king cannot get it. I'm going to get it. I have pretty good power here. The equality was there. Breached the powers. Jezebel was running the kingdom, brought the heathen worship. So she says, don't worry about it, Ahab, I'm going to take care of it. Look, the crooked woman, what she goes down, reminds me something that can happen in Washington. I'm sorry to say that like that. Listen to this. What did she do? And so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with a seal, and send the letters to the elders and the nobles that they were in the city dwelling in Naboth. She's writing letters now. She takes the seal of the Secretary of State, the kingdom of Ahab, and seals them. That's official letter, with other words. I'm writing the letter, but I'm in power. Don't look at Ahab, I'm running the kingdom. Brother, if you don't talk about what's happening today, that's exactly what happens. One or another crooked way, that's what we're doing anymore. Get by with murder, as long as you're in power. So she wrote, signed the letter, sent them out, and what happened? And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaiming, you know, a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. Now she started the accusation against the poor man. Listen how she penetrated in to try to get the kingdom. Jezebel was a crooked as a barrel of snakes, and she was a murderer. And what she did, and she set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to hear written against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. Listen to the charges. Ahab knows nothing about it. She says, you blaspheme the king and the God. You are ready to die, boy. We're going to kill you. why to kill the man? The man was an innocent man. She wants the vineyard to give it to Ahab. Says, don't worry, I'm going to take care of this business. Seems to me something that's taking place on the 20th century. But no, it was the same thing back there. Is it possible, even the Jezebel, day to day, that's why it's happening, all these things, buying votes, do this, do that in one state, do that in New York for another one, and go there and do that? Is it possible that same things are happening? But look now, the final thing, for the man of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants of the city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which he had sent unto them, and proclaimed fast, and set Naboth the high among the people. Listen now, they are fasting to make it more religious. There came of two men, children of Belial, who sat before him, and the man Belial witnessed against him and against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he die. That's a terrible story, am I right? For Jezebel to kill the man, to take his property, to rob him. She was running the kingdom. If you watch, he says, she's trying to deceive my servants, my slaves, in Thyatira church age. It's a deceiving spirit, worshipping paganism, and crooked in any way you can imagine. What kind of a chance the people had? No chance at all. You know? How would you like to receive a letter from the palace that Jezebel wrote and not Ahab? Jezebel takes the seal of the kingdom of Israel according to the law of Israel and seals that letter, sends it out. And that was the bait, how to kill that man, innocent man that owned all those vineyards. And the things going on about Jezebel, and on and on and on. And later on, Jezebel is parallel the same thing with the Nicolaitans, conquering the people, push them out, have her way, nobody can stand. But above all things, God kept his eye and keep on watching until the dogs eat, drink her blood. Her end will come. And the same thing with Rome and all these types that you see at Babylon. What do we see here? We see a person, number one, with very crooked character, bad one. Raise herself above everything. Her father killed somebody to take the kingdom. She was right on it, the history tells us. She gets out, gets married with Ahab. Ahab was the most wicked king you can imagine. We don't know what he has done, because history doesn't tell us detail about his life, but it tells us he was subjected to Jezebel and heathen worship, and that's good enough. Friends, the lesson that we learn, number one, don't be unequally yoked in business or anything. I was told a story one time. I was told a Jew and a Gentile got in business together. They got in business, they invested equal money. The Gentile shows next day with a brand new Cadillac. The Jew shows up with a bicycle. The business went on, the Jew was going with a bicycle. The business didn't do good, so the Jew turns around and by the Gentile throws him out. Because they're unequally yoked. We cannot yoke ourselves, friends, in business or the world. We cannot yoke ourselves with friends that eventually will stab us in the back. We have to be very careful, you know. Sometimes young people will say, Brother David, my girlfriend, my boyfriend accept the message. Let me tell you something. That means nothing to me. The question is, have they been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? That's what it means to me. And nothing less than that. It's not only the doctrine of marriage and divorce. It's the life of Jesus Christ in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When you see, they are unequally yoked what happened to Ahab. Until the end, you come and see a man, and you know, I don't know how God was merciful to him. He was pronounced to be killed. And God gave it to Ahab repentance and put sackcloth. He didn't need bread. He cried to God and screamed to God, be merciful to me, help me. And out of all this disgrace that Ahab had, God sent Elijah to Ahab. And he said, your children are going to pay the penalty, not you. Do you know that there are many times we suffer because our parents? Are you aware of that? I'm talking about non-Holy Ghost people. The Holy Ghost, you are released from everything. Can we say that I can stand for God? That's what I'm going to do. And that's it. But we're floating around so often. We let the things of the world get a hold of us. And you know, sometimes you are forced to do things. You don't know what to do. You are trapped right in the middle. But let's make one step closer to the Lord. He says, Lord, if you help me, I don't want to transgress your law anymore. Help me and guide me. Pray earnestly. He says, Lord, protect me. I don't want to get involved with these things. And you know, God will take the whole desire out of you. You'll be looking at this, what in the world they are doing? You know, Paul probably, if he shows up now, will say to all of us, get saved. That's what he's going to say. Get saved. You know, we make salvation like an aspirin or something. You take that pill, and then you're ready to go home. It doesn't work like that. It's change of life. Completely change of life. So, the first point, do not yoke with anything, husband, wife, children, with the world, the things of the world. Stay away from the things of the world that have pagan meaning. Read the book, Kinslips, the two Babylon. You find out what was going on. Look, read some of the books, 1800 and before, what happened at pagan Rome. All these things will tell us what not to do. But the only thing we say, I'm going to do it like that. Pick up the little bunny. Isn't it cute? Yes, it's cute, right? So Jezebel's kingdom was cute, but God fed her to the dogs. That's the end of her. I hope you got something, a general idea about Jezebel, because each one of these verses can be broken down to manifest her character through the scriptures. Jezebel was a murderer, a wicked woman. I mean, a woman that you don't want her to be your neighbor, neither to hear her name in your life, if you can. But here the Thyatira church age became subjected to the teaching of Jezebel. She says she's a prophetess to do what? To deceive the servants of God. I hope we move on with the Lord and forget the things of the world. Amen. Just try to turn your face to everything. You cannot even go to a store anymore without seeing pagan worship there somewhere. You can't look at the magazines. You can't look nothing. Everything proclaims worshiping of demons. That's all proclaims. I hope each one of us will start thinking about these things, because we have to get away from the world and the things of the world. We're at the end right now. Yesterday, I just took a break for a few minutes and I went right across the street where the cowboys, they were riding horses. And I met a young man, his name is Wayne, and we started talking, and he was telling me that he's saved. I waited for a little more, and I looked, he said to me, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I said, did you? He says, yes. Well, tell me what happened. And the man broke down. He said to me, I don't have enough of God. So I let him talk for a while. We went back and forth a little bit. Then, you know, I look at his wife, a pair of pants, riding horses. And I look at it and I said, that man if he knew the scriptures. I asked him, where do you people go to church, you and your wife? He says, we go to a charismatic church. You know, there's nothing wrong with a charismatic spirit, but unless you have the word, unless you have the word to put the spirit in, you are in trouble. That's the key of the whole thing. You've got to have the spirit. People say, I got the word. I'm asking, where is the spirit? How we separate the two and throw away the spirit, and then we pervert the word so we've got nothing left? Think about these things. Let's stand. Let's sing that chorus. Search me, O God. And I'd like to ask Brother Caesar to close us in a word of prayer. Search me, O God. Amen. Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See there be some way. Thank you, Lord. Cleanse me from every sin and sin. Me free. Hallelujah, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Your mercy, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Reveal to us, Lord. Sister of Jezebel, Lord.
Glory.
Spirit of Jezebel, Lord, is everywhere on this world, Lord, we see you, Lord. Dear God, just pray about you, just help each and every one of us, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
The word, Lord, that you just in our hearts, Lord.
Help me, Lord.
Not sin against you, Lord. Dear God, just pray about you, just help us, Lord, to be more separated from the world and the things of the world. For those things are not of you, Lord. The Lord said that if we love the world and the things of the world, that your love will be in us, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would help us this night, Lord. That these words, Lord, go down to our heart. Let us not just be hearers of the word, Lord, but doers of the word.
Yes, my Lord.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, just keep us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
The word says that you'll preserve our coming out and our going in. Yes,
Lord. Yes, Lord.
Preserve our soul, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep us safe, Lord.
Hallelujah. You are Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name.
Thank you, Jesus. Be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please remember me in prayer. I appreciate and remember the prayer requests that was given. Touch the Lord, touch the sick and so on. Amen.